Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. I thought that my intro was going to be working. Here we go.
Welcome to Balancing Your Life Radio with your host, Bonnie Bradshaw. Bonnie talks to experts in their field. On Balancing Your Life Radio, you will gain not only laughs, but also vital information to help you soar through life smoother than ever before. Join the conversation and tune in Thursday nights at 7. Do you have a show idea or a guest you would like to hear on the show? Let Bonnie know by visiting her Facebook page, facebook.com/ Balancing Your Life Radio with Bonnie Bradshaw. Now, Balancing Your Life Radio with Bonnie Bradshaw. Welcome to Balancing.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. This show is a very personal show for me. I hope to be able to bring insight to those that are experiencing domestic violence. I never thought that this would be something that my family would go through, but don't we all think that? Many of us, and I would say the majority of people, know somebody personally who is being abused in one way or another. And most of the time when we think of domestic violence, we think of physical hitting, choking, stabbing, you know, the physical aspects of it. But in all honesty, there is so much more. There's emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, there's the list goes on and on, types of violence. Now, the person, the victim, let's talk about the victim first. The victim is typically someone who is insecure in some area of their life. Now, I'm not saying that they're insecure, always walking around with their head down. Many domestic violence victims, CEOs of companies, they work in large corporations. They own their own businesses. On the outside, they seem very professional. They seem like they've got it all together. Now, our abusers are getting very smart. As time goes on, just like hackers on a computer, you know, we block them and then they figure out another way. So a lot of the abusers, when physically abusing their victims, they're going to hit, punch, kick where we can't see it. The public can't see it. That way, the victim doesn't have to come up with stories all the time. Because when people feel close to the victim, 9 times out of 10, eventually, they're going to report it. So the safest way for an accuser, for an abuser, is to do what they've got to do where the public can't see it. Mental abuse is something that is not seen at all. It's felt. And you can put on a happy face for the public, and they can't see what's emotional and spiritual. So I'm just going to share a little bit of our story as the parents of a victim. Our daughter wound up marrying a young man a few years younger than her. He had a very traumatic childhood. I can't go into specifics on this. That has spilled over into his whole life. So now he finds himself in a situation to where he's self-medicating with alcohol and other things that I cannot prove, so we're not going to go there. And that self-medication leads him into blackouts. And what I mean with blackouts, I don't mean passing out sort of thing. What I'm talking about is him going off, hurting those around him physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And then he says he doesn't remember. This has been going on and on. Started off as usual in little ways, and it has built and built and built. We're looking at, he's out on bond, which will tell you he was arrested, and it was bad. As the parents and grandparents of my granddaughter, when we got that phone call, it was a nightmare. My husband and I pulled up where the police officers met us out front and told me, because I was the first to jump out of the car, I wanted to check on my baby, and I wanted to go get my granddaughter. Well, they told me that I had to stay at the car. They had to get the statement while it was fresh in my daughter's mind, and that they would bring my granddaughter out to me, that my granddaughter was safe, that nothing harmed her physically. My granddaughter witnessed the whole thing. She's under 6 years old. She witnessed the whole ordeal. She's had nightmares. She came home with us that night. But I'll get back to that. So finally, after sitting in our car for what seemed to be hours, the officers came out and told me to go in. Well, they brought my granddaughter out to us, and we sat in the car with her. And that was probably 15 minutes that felt like hours. Then I finally was able to go in and see my daughter. One of her neighbors witnessed the whole thing. He had stayed out in the car when we pulled up, talking to us and sharing what he saw through the blinds, and he was actually the one to call 911. So not believing my ears of what my granddaughter had witnessed, not once, not twice, but multiple times, this was yet the worst time of all. When I went in to talk to my daughter, the witness went in with me. We talked about the whole deal, what happened, how she felt, what she wanted to do from here. Broke my heart. It broke my heart as a mother to see my daughter going through this. When my daughter is brilliant, she's extremely smart. She's a very loving and giving person, and I think that's her downfall. She wants to see the good in everyone. She wants to help everyone. She feels in her life like she is the, I don't know, the nurse of everybody's life, that she can piece it together. She can fix everybody, and she feels like she can fix him. And no matter what is said to her, she doesn't get that she cannot fix him. That now is the point that the system needs to offer him everything that they can so that he can willingly fix himself. Just like a drug addict doesn't get off drugs for someone else, they do it for themselves. And they have to hit rock bottom most of the time in order to make that happen, to get to that point of realization that it has to change. So as time has gone on, my business, She's Unstoppable LLC, I'm a motivational speaker to other people, helping people of domestic violence, as well as many other issues, women to understand their worth in this world, how to create, get past things, move forward, and have a life that they really want. Even though my daughter knows everything, she's choosing the opposite, and that's life. It's a free will choice of what we want to do with our life. We either want to create it, we want it to be happy, special, exciting, learn new things, create our dreams, travel, whatever the case may be, go back to school, excuse me. But it's a free will choice of what we personally want. So my grandbaby came back with us and stayed here. Of course, the nightmares followed for about a week. Now, we've gotten her past the nightmares, and we are at the point where my daughter went into a domestic violence shelter. This shelter was able to help her with more avenues than what we even knew about. So that's why she went there. And she wasn't far away from us. So we get to see her every day. She would come, get my granddaughter ready for school, pick her up, bring her back. So she got to spend time with her every day because she elected not to take her into the shelter with her. As we were helping my daughter financially, she started having contact with her husband through the jail system. And let me just say, with my company, most companies decide that there is a business or an organization or a cause that they want to be part of and they want to help support, or they start one of their own. I've been praying for years, Lord, there's so many organizations out there that I'm interested in, and I wish I had the time to dive into all of them, but I can't. So God, please help me to find that one organization that I can pour myself into and help. Well, this wasn't the way I thought I was going to find it, but the domestic violence is what I chose. So I went through training, still not believing that my daughter would be storybook victim. I really thought she was smarter than that. I thought she was stronger than that. So, as time has gone on, she collected enough money to bond him out of jail. So he's out. One condition of his bond is they're not to have anything to do with each other. Neither one of them will abide by that, which is causing my granddaughter more nightmares after we cleared all that. And it breaks my heart to hear what my granddaughter is dreaming about. It breaks my heart to see what my daughter is allowing, is screaming at her on the telephone that she needs to recant her story. She needs to say that these things didn't happen. Because the witness that called 911 skipped town. He's now in another state. So as my daughter is on the telephone sharing that she can't recant because they can put her in jail, he doesn't really care. He is determined that she is going to do what he says. She has hawked everything to get him out. In another conversation here, he's telling her that she better go hawk some more stuff. She has nothing left. And that'll tell you how bad this is. She has nothing left. So he's not a happy camper. So when my granddaughter overhears these conversations and she's outside running in the house crying, mommy's crying, she's talking to daddy, upsetting her, he's making her cry. Again, my granddaughter is becoming a victim over and over and over again of what my daughter is allowing in their life. I hear my daughter say, but he needs help. Again, she thinks she can fix him. He needs help. He has mental issues. Well, if he didn't have mental issues, he wouldn't be physically harming, mentally abusing anyone. I believe that anybody that steps in to hurt an innocent person definitely has to have some mental issues. And I leave that to the professionals, because a victim is the last person that needs to help an abuser. As her family, I just want to share with you, in case there is any victims out there listening to this, you and your spouse, it affects your family. Not only your children, but those that love you, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your grandparents, aunts, uncles, it affects everybody. Because as a mother, I can tell you my point of view. I was told at 19 years old that I would never be able to get pregnant and have children. But I can also tell you from the time I was able to walk, I had a baby doll in my hand and a baby carriage, and I dreamt of being a mom. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to be the Leave It to Beaver family, mom stays home, raises the children, and I had babies, because I knew deep down inside I was meant to be a mom. After many surgeries, I finally, and my daughter, my firstborn, carrying that baby inside of me, feeling her every move, taking her to work with me for 9 months, holding her in my arms, and I'll never forget the moment that I gave birth to her and they laid her in my arm and our eyes met for the very first time. My life changed in an instant. I wasn't Bonnie Bradshaw anymore. I wasn't just somebody's wife. I was now the proud mama of a beautiful baby girl. And God knows I had so many hopes and dreams for my little girl. She would graduate high school. She would be happy, have lots of good friends, go to college, or start her own business, be successful, marry a loving guy who would adore her, that she would adore, and he would do everything in his power to protect, love, honor his family. And isn't that what most parents want for their children? Happiness, love, and joy. And as a mom, and now a grandmother, to see my grandbaby going through this, and that my daughter doesn't see what she is doing to my granddaughter. My grandbaby isn't just being abused mentally, emotionally, scarred by her father. Now it has spilled over to her mother. Because mom can't see the damage that she's doing. She is so focused on getting her husband help when she's not supposed to have anything to do with him. But no matter if Kara, my grandbaby, is crying, no matter what it's doing her, my daughter just won't stop. She just yells at her daughter, go in the house, go in the house, just go in the house. And their conversations can last an hour. And as soon as she comes in to sit down, 10 minutes later, he's calling again. He's out the door talking. My husband and I told her, you know, we can't do this or watch this because it's killing us as parents, that you need to stop having conversations with him until after his court date or she's got to find somewhere else to go. And she elected to take my grandbaby and go to a friend's house. At least that's what we're told. So God knows what my granddaughter is witnessing now. I did this show today to try to reach out to the victims and to the families. To the families that I know what you're going through, because I'm going through it. That I'm going to pray for you all. And I understand. My son-in-law, abuser, what they wind up doing, and you really need to know this as a family, what the abuser winds up doing, because they still have to have control. They're very much control freaks. They will turn the victim against their family. They're very good at that. So understand that the victim, no matter what you say or what you try to help them with, when they're so brainwashed by the abuser, they are going to say hurtful, mean things to their family. They're going to completely turn against everyone. If you don't see things their way, if you don't do things the way they think it should be done, in a positive way to help the abuser or help them get back together or support the decision of them getting back together, you're in for it. Just be there, because at some point they are going to hit rock bottom, and hopefully the children, somebody will not lose their life in order for it to get there. But the victim has to hit rock bottom. And then they're going to need their support system to come back and pick them up and be there to love them. Because if not, they've lost everything. And they have nothing. And they need counseling, because what my husband and I have seen with my daughter is we don't understand that, but it's in her. She's always picked the same type of guy. So as a family, you're going to be hurt by the victim. They're going to say mean, hurtful things to you. They're going to push you away every chance they get. But stand your ground. And by all means, don't push them away completely. Because sooner or later, rock bottom is going to hit. And you're either going to need to be there for the victim and your grandbabies. Or God forbid the victim lose their life, be there for the grandbabies. And my daily prayer is that victims and children, and the children are victims too, but I'm adding that in a separate way, that they will not have to lose their life to learn. Children look to mommy and daddy, and no matter what you do to them, they still love you. They don't understand. Children cannot make adult decisions. Just like my daughter says. But she wants to talk to her daddy. She's thinking like a 5-year-old. She's not thinking like an adult. She can't reason what this is going to do to her. But mom sure should be able to. The baby should be put first and foremost to be safe. So I have 1 minute left. And guys, if anyone ever wants to talk, or you have anything that you want to get off your chest, or you just need to just air out your feelings, look me up on Facebook. Facebook.com/ Bonnie S. as in Sam, Bonnie S. Bradshaw. Facebook.com/ Bonnie S. Bradshaw. You can email me at BonnieSpeaks@me.com. And until next time, God bless you all, and I'm going to be praying for every person of domestic violence that domestic violence has touched. God bless you all, and have a safe day.